achieve that which you've given them for this day and this life. Father, we ask you now in Jesus' name that you give me clarity of thought and precision of speech, that you anoint me, give me the anointing that makes preaching and teaching easy. Father, we thank you now. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the word of God. And we thank you for the Holy Ghost of God. We thank you for all of those things that you've blessed us with on today. We thank you for this moment and hour that we have with you. Thank you that you looked over the celestial banisters of heaven and poured us out a blessing that we don't have room enough to receive. We thank you, Lord. We praise your name. Hallelujah. Father, after you've touched and healed and comforted and kept all those that are here today, we'll give you glory. We'll magnify your name. We'll join in with the many winged seraphim and the many eyed cherubim to chant and declare that you're holy. That you're holy, God. You're holy and your glory fills the earth. And we thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And I want to use for a thought or a title or tag on this message, growing in Christ. Amen. We must grow in Christ. And I'm going to deposit $2 million in your account. I hope nobody did that. But you have to have a mature mind. You have to know that this stuff can't be true. If it's too good to be true, guess what? It's not. When we grow up, we have a mind to see those things and say, you know what? That ain't true. I know. I have enough experience with liars that I know when somebody lies. Amen. But he said, don't be deceived by them. Don't be deceived. There's so much that's out there, and they tell you that you can send your money. Send your money, and then it's a guy, well, I ain't gonna, he on the radio. But he talk about, you know, if you send your money, I can get that root off you. Let me help you save your money. Get under the blood. Amen. And the root worker can't work the root. Amen. And it's a danger in getting to that. It's a danger. But when we get under the blood and say, Lord, wash me of this. Be like David, purge me, wash me, clean me up. When we say that and we truly mean it and we ain't going back to Miss Jane. Uh-oh, did I say her name? And we ain't going back to the whoever, the hoodoo and the voodoo. You know, don't be deceived. Amen. Y'all want me to go on now, right? Verse number 15. It says, but speaking the truth. In love, that's what I'm doing today. Speaking the truth to you in love, may grow up unto him all things, which is the head, Christ, even Christ. So the next thing we need to see here is that although we have to beware of deception, we have to have discipleship. And not only that, but developed by the word of God. I'm not in a hurry today, y'all can tell. Developed by the word of God. He says that we need to what? Speak the truth. What else is the truth except the word of God? What else is the truth except the word? I need to speak the word of God. But when I speak it, I understand it, so I say it in love. The Bible tells us that the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. So when you don't understand the word of God, and all you want to do is use it as a letter, a certified letter, I'm calling you to court. I'm summoning you. A certified letter. If all you want, you're using it to beat people up, then that's not how God intended it. That's why he sent Jesus to let him know that I'm not just a judgmental God that's looking around the corner to catch you, Israel, doing something so I can punish you. But I'm the kind of God that even though I know you can't live right, I'm going to send somebody down there to take care of your sin. And all you got to do is believe in him and try to do what I ask you to do, and you shall be saved. I want you to understand who I am. God wanted us to understand that he said, I can't put this in the book. I got to send it through a person. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. He wanted us to understand. And not only that, we understand because we experience him. And so we have to have what? Discipleship. We speak truth But we don't, you know, when you're a child, when you're not grown up and you're not growing, you don't speak truth because you're always in make-believe. You ever talk to a child and they tell you about their imaginary friend? They're not crazy, but we have an imagination when we're children. And our imagination is at work, and we can't separate imaginary from the real because we spend a lot of time in imagination. When a kid is, every time you see a boy and he doing this, what is he doing? Playing imaginary basketball. He ain't even in it really. He's not in it for real. He's playing imaginary basketball. So guess what happened? We've taken that and we put it in a $250 gaming system, and now they can make a avatar look like them, and they can imagine that that's them doing it. So they don't live in reality. But when you come, when you become a person that is grown up, you say, you know, I know some of y'all play games, but when you become grown, you got to learn how to separate imaginary and stuff that is not true with the truth. You have to separate it. Amen. And so we have to learn how to speak the truth in love so that we can learn how to grow. So when we speak the truth, I'm not so easy to fool now because I'm grown up. You can't just tell me anything now because my mind is stronger than that. Why do you think that older men prey on younger women? Because their mind is not developed. Come on. And I'm not, you know, because I know back in the day our grandpas and stuff, they married grandma and she was 13, he was 21. But there was a reason why, because they could tell them whatever and they would have to follow it. But if you married a woman older than that, it was going to be hard. Ooh, it's going to be hard. I'm just saying, y'all. And so he said that we got to understand that we have to walk in truth. We have to become disciples. And whatever the word of God says, that is what we must do. We must do what God said and not what everybody else say. And we got to understand something, that if God said it, it's settled. If God said your sins are washed away, guess what? That settles it. Don't let people keep telling you what, you know, you was a bad person, you were evil, you this. No. I'm changed today. Yes. Amen. If God said it, that settles it. Yes. If God said that he's going to deliver me, I don't care whatever anybody else say. If God said it, he'll do it. Speaking the truth in love, that we may grow in which is the head, Christ, the head. He's the head of the church. And if he's the head, I always like to use this example when in that text, because it's a good one. Because when you see a child, a baby with a big head, you look at him and say, oh, Lord, he got a big head. But then 17 years later, he's playing for LSU. And you realize that he had that big head because he had a big body. That he had to grow up into that what? Head. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Yeah, so you're looking at him now. He's 6'5 and 300 pounds because when he was only 2 years old, he couldn't hardly stand up because his head was so, you know, his head was big. He'd lose his balance. But once he learned to balance that head and he began to grow, he became a man. And that's what God is saying. You got a big head. Why are you still so small? Why are we not growing? We need to grow up into our head, even Christ. And that way, we can learn how to support the head. How do I support the head? Whatever the head wants, the body does. If the head wants to turn, and I can't turn the head enough with the neck, the rest of the body turns so that the head can see whatever it is that it needs to see. We need to learn what's in the head. We got eyes in the head so that we can see. We got ears in the head so that we can hear. We got a mouth so that we can speak, and a nose to be able to discern. So everything that we need, especially in our senses, it begins in the head. And the head is what we need to grow up into. If you don't want to learn how to see what God is saying, then you don't have to grow up into your head. If you don't want to hear what God is saying, you don't grow up into your head. If you don't want to say what God has already said, I wish I had somebody. The Bible said that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So what are you living by? Are you living by snack cakes, or are you living by the word? Are you living by what other people say about you, and that's how I feel good about myself? Or are you living by the word? Because the same people that say good things about you today, tomorrow they'll be saying crucify you. Better yet, remember Jesus? He came in the gate that day and they said Hosanna, save now. Later on that evening they were talking about crucify him. They didn't want him.
I wish I had somebody. You think that because people like you and they say good things about you right now that you're going to be all right? Well, let me tell you, they're going to turn on you someday. Someday you're not going to do what they want you to do. Someday you're not going to give them what they want you to give. Someday you ain't going to have it. And they're going to say, oh, you ain't what you say you is. They're going to get mad with you. You got to understand that. And you need to know that it doesn't matter what they say about me. What matters is what God says. He said, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He tells me who I am. He said that I'm the apple of his eye. He tells me who I am. He said that he loves me so much that he sent and gave his only begotten son. We need to know what God thinks about us. He said, I'll give you the kingdom because it pleases me. I have good thoughts of you, thoughts of peace and thoughts of prosperity. Y'all ain't saying nothing, but I'm preaching like a grown man should in here. You need to understand that what God has said about you. And when you understand what God has said, you don't have to worry about what people say, because they can say all they want, but God is still saying. I wish I had somebody in this place this morning that realized that if you're a disciple of God, I discipline myself to the point that I want to be like Christ. I want to be a disciple. We have to look at the disciples. Remember what Thomas started out. The Bible said that Thomas, they call him Doubting Thomas, but don't you get down on Thomas, because we doubt too. They called him Doubting Thomas. But then Thomas said that if I can't put my fingers in his hands and the holes of his side, I won't believe. And Jesus came through the wall just for Thomas. Do you know that God will come right to you? It ain't no barrier that'll keep him away from you. Oh yeah, it's if he wants to prove something to you, he'll show you some kind of way. We need to know that God loves us that much. And after Thomas saw Jesus, he went to India and preached the word and got those folks saved. I wish I had somebody. Oh yeah, look at Peter. Peter didn't start out right. Peter was warming at the enemy's fire. Peter was, he was one that he said, Jesus, I'm going to go with you and die. And Jesus said, Peter, before the cock crow three times, you're not going to even say you know me. You're going to deny me. And then Peter was sitting by the fire and they said, you know him. And he said, I don't know the man. And they said, yeah, Peter, you know him. And Peter started cussing and said, I don't know the man. He began to cuss and to lie about his relationship with Jesus Christ. And sometimes we're the same way. We don't want nobody to know how close we are with Jesus, so we sit by their fire. We talk their talk. We lie like they lie. We cuss like they cuss, just to prove ourselves to them so that we can fit in. But God will reveal us, because one day the chicken's gonna make some noise. One day the rooster is gonna crow and catch your attention, and you're gonna remember everything that Jesus said. I wish I had a church that realized today that we need to grow up and become disciples. But look at what Peter did. After Peter denied him, after Peter ran off and left him, after Peter cursed and acted a fool, the Bible said that later on that God spoke about him specifically. He told Mary Magdalene, he said, go tell the disciples and Peter to meet me, because I got something for him. I want to be like Peter. I might have messed up yesterday. I might not be what I should have been. I might have denied my relationship with Christ. I may have some faults, some frailties, and some failures, but I want God to holler out, go tell Al to come, because I got something for him. I wish I had somebody in here. Do anybody in here say, I want God to say, go tell him. Come on, call your own name. Go tell Bill. Go tell Don. I got something for him. I want to endure him with power. And when he got Peter to himself, he said, when you converted, strengthen your... Oh, I wish I had somebody. You need to see what God is trying to do in us. He wants us strong so that we can strengthen one another. And I'm going to get to it in a minute. But after Peter did all of that, he preached the word and 3,000. Peter, he opened up the first mega church in the new church. Amen. In the beginning of the church, Peter got 3,000 people saved in one day. Now, ain't nobody out there with a jet. Ain't nobody out there with a mega church can say that I got 3,000 in a day. Now, they may try to count that, but they ain't nothing like Peter. I wish I had somebody. Oh, yeah, but Peter did all of that, even though he was full of faults, even though he was full of frailties, even though he was a failure at some things. Peter, God still used him. And all I'm trying to tell you, that when you grow up, God can use you. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen here. I'm preaching myself happy. I feel pretty good myself. I know y'all ready to go, but I'm in my zone now. I'm where I want to be. Hallelujah. He said, hey, look, we got to grow up in the Christ. And verse 16 said, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by which that which every joint supplied according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. Look at this. We not only need to beware of deception, and we need to understand doctrine, but we need to understand too that we need to have discipleship, and we need to be developed by the word, and we need to have diligence and devotion. In other words, be diligent and do your part. Amen. Verse 16 talks about this. He said the whole body will fitly join together. Everybody has a part. Everybody has a place. I wish I had somebody. You have a place in God. He said, and compacted. Now, when you look at the word compacted, that means that you've been put together by instruction. God has given instruction to you to tell you your part. God has given instruction to you to tell you your place. Amen. God is, this is Bible study mixed, because we don't get enough people at Bible study, so I try to mix it in. So God is saying that the only way that you can join with each other is if you will hear instruction. Do you know that people that won't hear instruction, they can't be taught? And so if they can't be taught, they can't stay in the system. Come on and say, man. Even in our natural school system, if they find out a child do not receive instruction, they will remove them out of the what? System. God has a system. And if we don't learn how to be instructed and to be taught, if we want to rile up every time we don't agree with something instead of seeking for understanding, then guess what? You're going to get disciplined. And it ain't going to be by me, but it's going to be by God. Amen. He's going to show you. I'll never forget, I had me and a friend of mine, we always used to debate in the word of God, and it was good, healthy debate. But this day he got really mad with me because of something I told him, and he said, I don't believe that, and I ain't going for that. And he got really mad until the point I thought he was about to cuss me out. But then later on, when God showed him, I just stopped. I said, God, you're gonna have to show him, because ain't nothing I'm saying helping him. And then later on, probably about a month later, he called me. He said, man, I just want to apologize to you. He said, everything you told me, God has confirmed it. God has shown me. I have experienced this myself. I know this to be the real truth. And he said, I just want to apologize to you. He said, man, I because I was a little older than you, and because I thought I had a little more education than you, I thought I knew it all. I thought you couldn't tell me this. But now I realize that if the Holy Spirit said it, don't matter how much education you got, don't matter how long you've been doing it, it just matters that if you are able to receive instruction. And here we are today. In order for us to get in our devotion, to be diligent and do our part, we have to receive instruction and become effectual, become effective, and become efficient. I wish I had somebody. So many times we are not effective in our walk with God. So many times we're not effective by getting in our place. It's somebody that you're supposed to be joined with. You cannot come, oh, hallelujah, you cannot come to church and not join in with somebody. We say we joined the church, but I'm still off by myself. You hadn't joined yet. Because the Bible said that we are fitly joined together, and then not only are we joined together, but we're tightly joined together. We are compacted together. In other words, we are like some sardines in this thing. We need to be touching each other. Come on. That's why the Bible tells us when we pray, if two touching anything, how can you touch what I'm touching if you ain't close enough? Preach. Oh, come on and say amen. We need to be compacted by every which that with every which supply. Now here's the problem. Many people come to church about what they can get, not what they can supply. Preach. We come to church because I want something. I want a house. I want a husband. I need some money. My bills paid. If I can just get in a good church that look like they got a few dollars, then if it come time for my rent to be due and I can't pay it, then I can ask them. Well, that's what you pay your tithes for, because if you pay your tithes just like money in the bank, you can get them to give you some money so that they can pay your bills. That's a lie. You pay your tithes to God, and you don't pay your tithes to people. Amen. You pay your tithes to God, and it's not for you to be able to go withdraw out of the bank. If you're withdrawing, then all you get is what you put in. Let me check the record. Let's see how much. Oh, you only put $10 in this year. Here, your $10 on your rent. Preach. If it's like the bank. But, huh? Come on and say amen. But by every joint supply. What are you supplying? Are you supplying encouragement? Are you supplying the word? Are you supplying a helping hand? What are you supplying? Are you, if you're not supplying anything, why are you expecting something? If you go to a job and you don't do something, you can't expect nothing. You can't expect a bonus. You can't expect a raise. You can't even expect a paycheck if you don't do what they ask you to do. you can expect a pink slip. Somebody caught that. But he says that every joint supplies something. I'm joined to you, and what I'm joined to do is to supply something. I'm joined to give you something. But we're too busy trying to get something. We're too busy asking for something. If we listen, let me tell you something that God said. He said in his word, seek ye first, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and these things will be added. What things? The things that the world look after. The clothes they wear, the house, the land, whatever, the natural things. He said, look at the sparrows, the birds. He said, they don't sow, but yet they got plenty to eat. He said, look at the lilies of the field, and they are arrayed so beautifully. Don't you know that God makes that happen? In other words, there's a season for you to bloom. There's a season for you to get what God has for you. He says in Psalm number 1, he said that we will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water who will bring forth fruit in our season. We have a time when these things will happen in our life, but we don't have patience because we're not mature. Amen. Be diligent. I'm almost done. I ain't made nobody happy yet. He says, for the measure of every part, make increase. I like that. Effectual working of a measure of every part. God has given us a measure, and he expects us to be effective in our measure. You know what else? God expects you, no matter what the condition, he expects you to produce. Yes. You keep saying, God, I can't do it at this time because of what I'm going through. God don't want to hear that. He expects you to produce. He expect, because he put something in you. God has put something in every one of us. And what he's put in there, he expects us to do something with.
That's right.
Remember the servants? The Bible said that they had some servants that they had given talents to or given something to. And the Bible says that one went out and he used his and gained interest on it. The other one, he gained a little more interest than the other. But one of them said, I got this. And he put it in the ground. He put it in the dirt. Sometimes we leave it in the dirt. We're made of dirt. We're made of dust. Sometimes we leave it in there and we don't do anything with it. And then what happened to him? The Bible says that the master came back and he says to them all, what have you done? And one of them said, I've occupied just like you said. And one of them said, I got this much and this much. And he said, you'll be rule over this and you'll have that because you did this. And then the one said, I got the one you gave me. And God said, you know what? You're wicked. You're wicked. And he said, now take him, bind him up, and throw him into outer darkness. That's a place that God send those that he's given something to and don't do nothing with. That's the truth. Amen. I want you to think about that. And I'm almost done here. He says that the effectual working in the measure of every part make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We need to increase the body. Why is the church in decline? It's because when we were younger, the church increased because of neighbors, loving neighbors. The Bible said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. We don't even know our neighbors. Or our neighbors are too noisy to deal with. Well, if they're too noisy, why don't we go over there and try to give them some gospel music? And maybe you turn your music up. Maybe that'll help. Amen. I want to say this. We have a member. I'm not going to call her name, but she was playing her CD that her pastor had preached. She was playing it, and her neighbors called the police because she was playing the message, and it was loud, and she didn't know, they didn't know what was going on over there. But the thing is that sometimes you have to disturb people's comfort zone, amen, and so they'll know who you are and what you stand for. I wish I had somebody. He says that we ought to what? Make increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. What does edification mean? Edification means to build up. We need to build each other up. I need to build you up. You need to build me up. We need to pump up the kingdom of God. If we see somebody, we need to let them know ain't nothing better than the kingdom. Ain't nothing better than the word. Ain't nothing better than praise and worship. It ain't nothing better than whatever we do in Christ. And sometimes they might get tired of it, but I don't care. Ain't nobody mad but the devil. Come on and say man here. You need to pump it up. You need to say ain't no church better than my church. You need to say ain't no God better than my God. Ain't no savior other than the one savior, Jesus Christ. And we need to edify by what? Love. The love that we have for one another. What did Jesus say? He said that men will be able to know that you're my disciples by the love you have one for another. But here we are in 2016, Christians who say that we love each other, but we turn around and stab each other in the back. If some, oh, come on and say amen. If we don't like somebody, we go around to everybody's house and tell them how much we don't like them. I had that happen to me several times. Somebody don't like me, and I don't care if they don't like me, but don't try to hurt God's church. Don't try to hurt what God is doing. I wish I had somebody. You may not like me, but at least love God enough to respect what he's trying to do in me. Paul said this. He said that some people preach because they want to get gain. Some people preach because they want to try to hurt me. But guess what? Paul said, I don't care what the reason is, as long as somebody gets saved. When you get to the point of maturity, you'll say it doesn't matter what really goes on. The main thing is the main thing, and that is that somebody will get saved, that somebody will believe that Jesus came, hung, bled, and died, that somebody would believe that he gave his life, that he took up an old rugged cross, and that he decided that because we were sinners, that he would die for the ungodly. Do I have anybody here that say, I was the ungodly that he died for? The Bible said that for the joy that was set before him, that he endured the cross, that he despised the shame. Do I have any witnesses in here? It's time for us to grow up and spread the word that Jesus hung his head in the locks of his shoulders and he died, but he didn't stay dead, because the Bible says early Sunday morning that he got up with all power in his hand. That's love. Somebody said, what love got to do with it? Let me tell Tina Turner, let me tell Anna Mae Bullock, that love got everything to do with it. If it had not been for the love of God, I'd still be in my sin. If it had not been for the love of God, I wouldn't be turned around like I am. If it had not been for the love of God, the world would already be destroyed. If it hadn't been for the love, I wouldn't have my place in the kingdom. Oh, thank God for the love. See, it wasn't nails that held him. It wasn't, come on and say amen. It wasn't the cross that held him there, but it was the love of God. The love for the prostitute, the drug addict, the love for the murderer. I know it's too hard for us to believe, but he loved every one of us. I don't care what walk of life you come from. I came to let you know God loves you. He loves you. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I don't care what you've done. God loves you. Come on and shout, yeah. Shout yes. Don't you know that he loves you? He loved you enough that early Sunday morning he got up. He said, I can't stay in the grave even though I defeated death here. He said, I got to get up and I got to give him power. He said, now I'm going to endue you with power. Power for service. Power to help others out. Power to spread this word. Power to help your people out. Do I have any witnesses? He said, power to lay hands on the sick and they might recover. Do I have any witness here? Come on and shout yes. Say, neighbor, I don't know how you feel about him, but I know he's all right. Anybody know he's all right? I say, won't God fix your problems? Won't God make a way for you? Won't God grow you up? He chastened them that he loves. So I thank God for the good whoopings. I thank God for straightening me out. I thank God for shaking me at times and making me realize that this is a serious thing and you gotta grow up. Somebody need to grow up so God can use you. You need to grow up so God can heal through you, so God can deliver through you. Come on and shout yes. Won't God do it? Won't he, won't he? Won't he, won't he? Say yes here. I'm about to go home. Y'all ready? Because I see how y'all looking. But tell your neighbor, I may not know three things. I may not even know two things. But one thing I know, I know he's all right.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m.